From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Hello listeners, welcome back to me Ahmad Faisal in English program. Hopefully you are so fine and still have spirit to listen our program today. And for these 60 minutes ahead, we would like to accompany you with various segments that cannot only entertain you, but also educate as well as inform you our several beneficial information and entertainment such as news, commentary, and also other self-information, as well as Indonesian pop songs. Well, listeners, we begin our program with news. So stay tuned with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
This is Voice of Indonesia with the news. First, the headline. Indonesian President will inaugurate the Saudi Arabian and Indonesian High Council when he visits Saudi Arabia in October. Philippines urges fishermen to keep up presence at China Health Show. I'm Rahmawati, now the news in detail. The extraordinary and plenipotentiary ambassador of the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia to Indonesia, Faisal bin Abdullah Al-Amodi, said Indonesian President Joko Widodo is scheduled to sign the inauguration of the Saudi Arabian and Indonesian High Council. At the commemoration of the 93rd National Day of Saudi Arabia, which was held recently in Jakarta, Ambassador Faisal bin Abdullah Al-Amodi said the signing ceremony would be chaired directly by Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman during President Joko Widodo's visit to Saudi Arabia on October 19 to the 20. According to the plan, the President of the Republic of Indonesia, Joko Widodo, will visit Saudi Arabia from 19 to 20 October this year. And this is a momentum to continue to increase cooperative visits between the two countries. During this visit, it is planned that the High Council of Saudi Arabia and Indonesia will also be signed, which will be chaired directly by His Highness the Crown Prince of the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, Mohammed bin Salman, as well as the Prime Minister of Saudi Arabia, and also, of course, the President of the Republic of Indonesia. It is hoped that this High Council will not only open new horizons for cooperative relations between the two countries, but also provide momentum to improve relations in a more strategic direction, both in the fields of politics, investment, energy, tourism, and economics, expected or planned by these two friendly countries. Ambassador Faisal explained that the formation of the Saudi Arabian and Indonesian High Council is a concrete step taken from the good relations that had existed between the two countries to discuss and answer various strategic issues for the progress of both countries. Indonesian Defense Minister Prabowo Subianto reaffirmed the Indonesian government's support for the Palestinian cause to the Chief of Palestinian Civil Police, Major General Yosef Al-Hello, during his visit to Jakarta on Tuesday. The minister affirmed that Indonesia's support for Palestine is not only in advocacy in international forums, but also in the education sector. He noted that the Palestinian students who receive the Indonesian government scholarships will study undergraduate programs in medicine, civil engineering, electrical engineering, pharmacy, mathematics, chemistry, and biology. The Indonesian government has established collaboration with the Japan Bank for International Cooperation to develop new renewable energy. Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs, Airlangga Hartarto, said the two parties have discussed proposed activities for the Indonesia and Japan Cooperation Energy Transition Program, particularly as a follow-up to the formation of a task force for the energy and infrastructure transition. The minister said Indonesia and Japan have agreed that the task force will connect Indonesian and Japanese stakeholders in accelerating the development of the energy transition and its supporting infrastructure. The fastest growing food commodity, vegetable oils, plays a fundamental role in supporting humanity's needs, both for consumption and various applications. However, it is now facing the challenge of meeting demand that increasingly outruns the supply. Swift and decisive action is required from vegetable oil producing countries to address immediate challenges and enhance future resilience in providing sustainable vegetable oils. To facilitate this action, the Council of Palm Oil Producing Countries and Indonesian Palm Oil Association, or GAPKI, will co-host the second Sustainable Vegetable Oils Conference, aligning with the G20 meetings and back-to-back with the Globe Oil India 2023. Now we move to the international news. The Coast Guard of the Philippines urged the country's fishermen on Wednesday to keep operating at the disputed Scarborough Shoal on other sites in the South China Sea, pledging to step up patrols there despite an imposing Chinese presence. Philippine vessels were unable to maintain a constant presence, but were committed to protecting the rights of fishermen inside the country's exclusive economic zone. Coast Guard spokesperson Commodore J. Tariela said. On Monday, the Coast Guard cut a 300-meter or 980-feet floating barrier installed by China that blocked access to the Scarborough Shoal, a bold response in an area Beijing has controlled for more than a decade, with Coast Guard ships and a fleet of large fishing vessels. Next, we have the United Nations Human Rights Office that has expressed concern about the arrest of a Vietnamese green energy expert who had worked with United Nations and United States agencies just days after President Joe Biden signed business and human rights deals with Hanoi on a visit. Hanoi police on September 15 detained Ngo Thi Tho Ninh, executive director of the Vietnam Initiative for Energy Transition, an independent think tank focused on green energy policy, Reuters reported last week, citing a charity and a source. We end the news with the Royal Commission for Riyadh City, the Saudi government agency leading the kingdom's bid to host World Expo 2030, recently held a seminar in Paris on the country's expo themes. Titled Prosperity for All, the meeting was attended by delegates from the member countries of the Bureau International des Expositions, an intergovernmental organization that regulates World Expo. During the seminar, Saudi Minister of Tourism Ahmed Al-Khatib, Diriyah Gate Development Authority CEO Jerry Inzerillo, and Senior Advisor Daniel Sobel addressed the BIE delegates and highlighted the Kingdom's Expo vision. That was the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Here is today's commentary on commemorating World Tourism Day. I'm Dalat Pane. Today, September 27th, is celebrated as World Tourism Day. Since 1980, the United Nations World Tourism Organization, UNWTO, has celebrated World Tourism Day as an international commemoration every September 27, referring to the date of adoption of the UNWTO Statute in 1970. The adoption of this statute is considered a historical milestone in global tourism. The theme of this year's World Tourism Day celebration is Tourism and Green Investment. Quoting the official UNWTO website, this year, the World Tourism Organization, UNWTO, is focusing on investment for people, planet, prosperity. Investment for society is in the form of education and skills. Meanwhile, for the planet or Earth, this is realized by investing in sustainable infrastructure and accelerating green transformation. For prosperity, invest in innovation, technology, and entrepreneurship. Tourism is an important sector for Indonesia. Natural beauty, unique culture, and artistic heritage, and the friendliness of the people are tourism attractions in Indonesia. The Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy targets foreign exchange earnings from the tourism sector to reach 2.07 to 5.95 billion US dollars in 2023, with a target of 8.5 million foreign tourist visits. The Indonesian government is targeting investment in the tourism sector at 8 billion US dollars, which will create new jobs for 4.4 million people. The focus of investment in society, the earth, and prosperity is also the focus of tourism development and investment in Indonesia. The Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy encourage villages to develop their resources to become tourist destinations. This program will not only provide direct benefits to village communities to develop village potential, but also at the same time maintain environmental sustainability and the welfare of local and surrounding communities. Another focus of the Indonesian government is the development of five super priority tourist destinations, namely Borobudur, Lake Kupang, Mandalika, Lake Toba, and Labuan Bajo. This effort involves various relevant ministries to carry out the development of transportation facilities and infrastructure in five super priority tourist destinations. The involvement of all parties is the key to the successful development of the tourism industry in Indonesia. With natural wealth, human resources, and regulations that make it easier to invest in Indonesia, especially investment in our sustainable tourism industry, of course, the targets set by the government of Indonesia in the tourism sector can be achieved. Everyone must move for the progress of tourism. As UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres said, investing in sustainable tourism means investing in a better future for all. That was commentary.
Voice of Indonesia.
We begin today in history with an event on September 27, 1945 about Postal and Telecommunication Service Day. Postal and Telecommunication Service Day began with the takeover of the postal telegraph and telephone service from the authority of the Japanese government by Indonesian youth who were members of the Post Telegraph and Telephone Youth Force in Bandung, West Java, September 27, 1945. Youth Force for Post Telegraph and Telephone driven by Sutoko decided to seize the Postal Telegraph and Telephone Service Bureau office. The takeover event on September 27, 1945 is still commemorated as Post and Telecommunication Service Day. Moving on to September 27, 1980, about the World Tourism Day. Since 1980, the World Tourism Organization has celebrated World Tourism Day every September 27. This date was chosen because on September 27, 1970, the Articles of Association of the World Tourism Organization, UNWTO, were drafted. The drafting of the Articles of Association is considered a benchmark for world tourism. Apart from that, the determination of the date for World Tourism Day is also based on unique facts. September 27 is the end of holiday time in the Northern Hemisphere as it prepares to enter winter. However, in the Southern Hemisphere, September 27 is the start of the holiday season because it welcomes summer. This is the date when travelers in all parts of the world are guaranteed to vacation together. The aim of celebrating World Tourism Day is to raise awareness of the role of tourism in the international community and to show the impact of tourism on world social, cultural, political, and economic values. We end today in history with September 27, 1988, when the National League for Democracy Party was founded in Myanmar. The National League for Democracy, or NLD, was founded in Myanmar on September 27, 1988 and was led by democracy activist Aung San Suu Kyi, who acted as Secretary General. In the 1990 general election, this party won 392 of the 492 seats available. But the ruling military junta didn't allow the party to form a government. In 2010, the NLD party was declared illegal and had to be disbanded. However, a year later, the NLD was allowed to become active again and take part in the 2012 and 2015 general elections. That was Today in History from Voice of Indonesia.
Berlari saja menghindari semua yang menimpa, takkan ku biarkan diriku terus terlena dalam ayahku. Ada saat aku tak berdaya menghapuskan semua cerita, mungkin ku berharap terlalu banyak sedang dirimu terus berlalu. Hatimu terlalu cepat berubah, sedang diriku terus mengharap. Penyesalan di hati, sanjak hanya ungkapan hati, tak cukup sudah untuk diriku. Oh, aku hancur lantak bagai debu, aku telanjang tanpa kasihmu, bibirku kering laksana. Terima kasih.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. For this segment, we would like to give you information about My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, My Indonesia today entitled Government Invites Global Tech Companies to Have Business and Office in Indonesia. The Indonesian government kept inviting the tech companies to come and innovate in the country by having business and offices in Indonesia. That was stated by the Coordinating Minister for Economy Airlangga Hartarto when representing President Joko Widodo as a keynote speaker at Cloud Day Indonesia 2023 in Jakarta on Tuesday. Minister Airlangga said in the last two decades, the Indonesian digital economy grew twofold and currently is the biggest in ASEAN. This marks the development of digital technology among the people, whose number was estimated to increase up to $133 billion by 2025. Minister Airlangga added, with such a big market potential, the regional offices of digital tech companies should be built in Indonesia and not in other countries. About digital tech advancement, Minister Airlangga in his keynote speech also said Indonesia kept encouraging the commitment and effort by global tech companies to join in supporting Indonesian digital economy downstreaming, so it can be the main player in a superior digital economy sector. Indonesia is also open to investment to improve the competitiveness value, to encourage economic growth, and to open jobs needed in the future, such as AI researcher, big data analyst, 5G network engineer, and cybersecurity specialist. Technology companies that invest are also expected to open research center, train and improve manpower in digital sector, improve local micro, small, and medium enterprise empowerment, provide equal technology access, and support the digital transformation agenda of the government. On that occasion, Minister Airlangga also extended the appreciation from President Joko Widodo to Amazon Web Services, or AWS, that has rapidly developed in Indonesia by launching the AWS Asia Pacific Regional Data Center in Jakarta, which is the second biggest data center in the Southeast Asia after Singapore. Technology infrastructure development, mainly cloud computing, which is also done by AWS, was seen to be able to accelerate digital economic development, encourage more new business, encourage tech innovation and development, and attract more funding into startups. Minister Airlangga Hartarto also affirmed that it needs strengthening of collaboration and synergy between the government as regulator, tech provider company, and innovator so that digital economy and artificial intelligence development can give optimal added value for the people of Indonesia. That was My Indonesia.
Selama dunia masih berputar, perbedaan tak pernah pudar, terbawa keangkuhan manusia, tak ingin membagi rasa. Bukalah mata hati kita, bayang sekitar kita.
Voice of Indonesia.
Bosong is located at the foot of Mount Sindoro, Central Java. You can enjoy the sunrise from a height of 1,400 meters above sea level and can see the beautiful view of 8 mountains at once, namely Mount Andong, Mount Sindoro, Mount Sumbing, Mount Merbabu, Mount Ungaran, Mount Muria, Mount Merapi, and Mount Telomoyo. This is the main attraction of Bosong Hill, which also provides camping ground facilities. A cool mountain breeze will greet you as you wait for the sun to rise. Bosong's position is precisely at an altitude of 1,823 meters above sea level. No wonder the air in Bosong tourism is very cool. In fact, various types of plants can thrive here. If you come in clear weather, you will find the beauty of the golden sun rising between the two mountains combined with stunning natural nuance. That is the golden sunrise that you can see from Temanggung. The beauty that can be enjoyed from Bosong Hill is not only that, various photo spots are also provided for you. For those of you who want to enjoy the beautiful view and cool mountain air for a longer time, you can rent a tent for camping in a place provided by the manager, or you can bring your own tent. This tourism spot is open from 4 a.m. to 5 p.m. Western Indonesian time. The first pioneer of Bosong tourism was Zuniyanto, as one of the environmental activists of the Jogoreso community in Calap Village, Kledung District, Temanggung Regency in 2009. The entrance ticket price for Bosong Nature Tourism is 7,000 rupiah. The access to Bosong is not difficult. If you are from Yogyakarta, then the route you can have to choose is Jogja Magelang, Temanggung Wonosobo. Furthermore, the route is Bosong is quite easy because of its location close to the main road of Temanggung Wonosobo. You just need to drive along the main road of Temanggung Wonosobo, which is between Mount Sumbing and Sindoro. Around 19 km from the city of Temanggung direction towards the city of Wonosobo, on the right side of the road, there will be a gate marked Bosong. Turn right, leave the main road and enter the gate. Next, just follow the road, which will consist of stones instead of asphalt. Even so, cars can still reach the Bosong parking lot. That's Indonesian wonder.
Thank you. semenang hati.
Of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a program that introduces the Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to speak in the language. Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a joint initiative of Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education, Culture, Research, and Technology. Today's topic is di Bandung, which means in Bandung. So stay tuned. We are going to present to you a conversation entitled Berapa Lama? Berapa Lama? Which means how long. This conversation happens between Chris George Robinson, a vlogger from Australia and a museum guide at the Asia-Africa Conference Museum. Chris responded the explanation of the guide about the time period of the Asia-Africa Conference. Let's listen to the conversation.
Pada tahun 1955, di gedung ini diselenggarakan Konferensi Asia Afrika. Konferensi tersebut dihadiri pemimpin dari 29 negara.
Berapa lama konferensi itu diselenggarakan?
Selama 7 hari, dari tanggal 18 hingga 24 April.
After listening to the conversation, now I'm going to introduce some vocabulary and expressions related to the topic of the day. I'm going to say each word 2 times and you can repeat after me. Berapa lama konferensi itu diselenggarakan? Berapa lama konferensi itu diselenggarakan? Which means how long was the conference held? Berapa lama? Berapa lama? Which means how long? Konferensi itu. Konferensi itu, which means the conference. Diselenggarakan, diselenggarakan, which means to be held. Konferensi Asia Afrika, konferensi Asia Afrika, which means Asia Africa Conference. Dihadiri, dihadiri, which means to be attended. Pemimpin, pemimpin, which means leaders. 29 negara. 29 negara, which means 29 countries. Selama 7 hari, selama 7 hari, which means for 7 days. Tanggal 18 hingga 24 April. Tanggal 18 hingga 24 April, which means from April 18 to the 24th. In the conversation, you hear the question, berapa lama konferensi itu diselenggarakan? Berapa lama konferensi itu diselenggarakan? Which means, how long was the conference held? In the question, there is a question word, berapa lama? Berapa lama? Which means, how long? Which is used to ask about the time period of the conference. To ask about a time period, you can use the question word, berapa lama? Which means, how long? Followed by an activity. Such as, in this case, konferensi itu diselenggarakan, which means the conference was held. Let's listen to the other examples of using the question word berapa lama, berapa lama, which means how long, to ask about time period. Berapa lama kamu akan tinggal di sini? Berapa lama kamu akan tinggal di sini? Which means, how long will you stay here? Berapa lama perjalanan dari Bandung ke Jakarta? Berapa lama perjalanan dari Bandung ke Jakarta? Which means, how long does it take from Bandung to Jakarta? The Asia-Africa Conference in 1955 was followed up by holding the Asia-Africa Summit. It was held in 2005 in Jakarta and Bandung, West Java, to coincide with the 50th anniversary of the Asia-Africa Conference. Meanwhile, the 2015 Asia-Africa Summit held in Jakarta and Bandung to coincide with the 60th anniversary of the Asia-Africa Conference. Before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Pada tahun 1955, di gedung ini diselenggarakan Konferensi Asia Afrika. Konferensi tersebut dihadiri pemimpin dari 29 negara.
Berapa lama konferensi itu diselenggarakan?
Selama 7 hari, dari tanggal 18 hingga 24 April.
Well, listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those of you who want to know more about Indonesian language. I'm Rahma. Sampai jumpa.
Sebuah tembang pilihan. Semoga bisa meredam segala kerinduan.
Voice of Indonesia.
VOA listener, today's edition of Music Corner presents a traditional song entitled Polo Pakita from Manado, North Sulawesi. The song Polo Pakita was composed by Welem Puno Singson, telling about the last moments of a couple. For some reason, they have to be separated a long distance for a while. When it is time to separate, the lover is asked to remain faithful in waiting because this separation is not to end the relationship. Well, listener, let's enjoy the traditional song Polo Pakita by the music group Kapata. Enjoy!
Detik terakhir ketong dua baku sayang sadikilai ketong dua mo baku bisa oh, oh, oh.
Cuma beta kasih. Jangan sampai ale pigi deng lain.
Tunggu beta mau pulang, mau datang ambil. Oh, oh.
Polo beta sayang, cium beta.
Voice of Indonesia.